Sports VSiN Prime Time. Live from the Circus Sportsbook in downtown Las Vegas on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
All right, it's not Walker Buehler's day off. Walker Buehler is getting hammered in the Bronx tonight. World Series hero Walker Buehler getting hammered by the Yankees. Will Hill and I, hour number two here, VSiN Primetime. Will, it's nice to see the Yankees finally beat up on Walker Buehler. 5-0, middle of the second inning. Jazz Chisholm, a three-run shot. Anthony Volpe, a two-run shot. Yankees minus 190 when the game started. Now much bigger favorites over the Red Sox in the middle of the second inning. How much of this game you've been able to watch? Because Walker Buehler shut down the Yankees in the World Series. Not tonight. 5 runs in one inning.
Yeah, and that was, what, a key third game he started when the Dodgers were up 2-0. They went back to Yankee Stadium, and he pitched really well. Then he came in to close out the deciding game fifth and got the save. And remember, Buehler was awful in the regular season. Wasn't good in, I believe, his first playoff start. He got to the Mets series in the NLCS and was a key figure in that. He pitched really well against the Yankees, and he's gone to the Red Sox, and he's been okay. He was always a guy with a lot of talent, just had a lot of injuries, but not having his best stuff tonight, to say the least. Yankees with a quick 5 spot here, leading the Red Sox 5-0, and the Red Sox continue to scuffle.
Yeah, without Alex Bregman, that Boston lineup is not so fearsome, and Red Sox coming off a series against the Angels in which they dropped 2 of 3 at Fenway Park. Yankees up right now 5-0 at DraftKings. 6.5-run favorites. Mike, you can lay 6.5 runs minus 109, or you can just bet the Yankees minus 10,000 on the money line. That's the updated price at DraftKings. Not a lot of scoring in the early games in MLB tonight. Will Hill, we've talked a little baseball, but not a lot so far. I didn't jump in on the Friday night baseball card. I like to do a lot more betting in baseball on Saturday and Sunday. How about you? How many plays do you have on the Friday night card?
Just the one for now. I got the Yankees over 9. As the later games come up, I think we'll maybe add something. But just for now, the one.
All right, let's talk about our game of the night, because the puck is going to drop in Edmonton soon for game number 2. Circa opened this actually at minus 124. And it is now minus 107. Oilers minus 107. Panthers minus 105. Total of 6 shaded over, minus 120. Plenty of books out there with a total of 6.5 shaded under if you want to play the total tonight. But it feels like if you're on the Oilers, like I am in the series, it felt like we stole one in game 1. Panthers up 3-1. Oilers come back to tie it and win 4-3 in overtime. And Leon Draisaitl, Connor McDavid, a big part of that comeback for Edmonton. It didn't even feel like Stuart Skinner was that great in goal. And the Oilers to score 4 on Bobrovsky was a little bit surprising. But Edmonton up 4-0. I don't know if it's a simple zigzag or just the respect that all the bettors in the market have for the Florida Panthers, who are in the Stanley Cup final for the 3rd year in a row, Will. But I'm not surprised to see money show up in support of the Panthers here in game 2. How about you?
Yeah, the zigzag, I would say, more popular in the NBA than the NHL, but not surprised. A championship team like the Panthers had a 3-1 lead, needs the game more, you would think. So understand the movement. If I had to bet it, though, I am going to add. I want to have a little skin in the game. I'm going to make a small bet on the Oilers here. I think they win again. Again, not that I have a lot of hockey expertise, but I watch pretty much all of these games, especially in the Stanley Cup. Watched just about all of that game the other night. Was very exciting. Hopefully we get 5 or 6 more just like that. That'll be a hell of a series if that's the case. So I like the Oilers in this spot.
You like the Oilers again tonight. See, I got them in the series, so I'm not going to bet them tonight. I'm a little bit uneasy about tonight's game, nervous about tonight's game, because I thought these Oilers, like I said, stole one in the series opener against the Panthers. So looks like we are, I don't know, maybe about 10 minutes away from the start of that game. Chuck Esposito of the Red Rock Sportsbook is going to join us. Chuck is a puckhead. He loves hockey betting, and we'll get to report on where the money is on the game tonight, but it certainly looks like it's on the underdog for the Panthers. Here at Circa, Oilers minus 107, Panthers minus 105. It actually opened Edmonton minus 124. So a bit of movement there. All right, so NBA Finals Game 2 is going to be Sunday night. Will, does the schedule make a lot of sense to you? I know it's all set up for TV, obviously. That's the simple answer. But why would there not be a Saturday night game? You don't have travel. Why not just one day off and then a Saturday night game in the NBA Finals? Instead, we got to wait until Sunday night for Game 2 in Oklahoma City.
I think it's probably just as simple as Sunday's a better night for TV than Saturday night. Saturday, people go out. Sunday, people are home because the next day's a work day, a school day. My guess would be that's why. I know they – I don't know. Do you think they try to drag it out as much as possible? Do they want the most rest for these teams? I think it's more to line up with the with the better TV days, and I think Sunday's just a better day for TV than Saturday is.
Yeah, it certainly seems like that's the case. You probably get better ratings on Sunday night than you will on Saturday night, but you don't have a travel day. Seems to me that you don't really need 2 days off between games in this sort of situation. You had a note. There's been a lot of talk about how two small markets, ratings are going to be poor, TV ratings are going to be down, betting interest is going to be down in this NBA Finals. What did you find from Game 1 last night?
Yes, I'm trying to find the tweet. I'll find it maybe during the break, but according to one of these sources, you always have to be careful and double check this stuff with all the fake accounts and people posting fake stuff. That the one report I saw, though, this was the lowest rated Game 1 of a Finals since 1988 when the Nielsen ratings started tracking this stuff, and that it does exclude 20 and 21 because those were altered by the pandemic, which I'm not surprised. Remember, we had Jeff Sherman on Tuesday, and I asked him, and this goes ratings handle, they go hand in hand. I said, do you think the handle will be down because of a few things? 4 or 5 day layoff. We have a $7 favorite, and we got two small market teams. So I think all three of those play into account. It's kind of ironic. How good the game is doesn't really affect the ratings because people are either into the game or they're not before the game starts. So maybe Game 2 gets a bump with, they either saw the highlights or they heard it was a great game. Now they're into it. So I would imagine you get a bump here in Game 2. But from the report I saw, the ratings were not good here in Game 1.
You don't have New York. You don't have any major media markets. But Pacers-Thunder, for those who love basketball, I think is a great series. And I will say, here in the Circus Sportsbook last night, it was packed. Had a great crowd. The enthusiasm level was high. And I thought everybody had a great night here in the Circus Book. It was pretty full. So I was a little bit surprised to hear the TV ratings were that down. But again, Indiana, Oklahoma City, probably shouldn't be that surprised that the ratings we're a little bit lower. Let's talk about Game 2 because it's really irrelevant at this point. A lot of people talk about small markets, TV ratings down. Who cares? I want to know where the betting interest is, the wagering handle. And the bookmakers have said the wagering handle's strong on this NBA Finals. Will, where do you think the money's going to be at here in Game 2? Oklahoma City now an 11-point favorite. Total is ticked down. I bet under 231.5 in Game 1. I had to sweat for a little bit there in the fourth quarter last night, but it lands on 221, so it stayed under. Total down a couple ticks here for Game 2, 228 to 228.5. OKC, a big favorite, a minus 700 favorite. Actually, circuit closed OKC minus 750. When you have a big favorite like that that loses Game 1, you can pretty much bank on the bettors coming back on that favorite in Game 2, saying, hey, there's no way the Thunder's going to drop the first two games at home. When we saw the Thunder drop Game 1 at home to Denver in the second round, Thunder came back and thrashed the Nuggets in Game 2. What do you think is going to happen here? How do you think this game is going to be bet for Sunday night?
I would defer to what you're saying, where the market likes the better team, the desperate team, the motivated team, the angry team. I just think some of that's going to be neutralized by, boy, you really want to step in front of this Pacers team and lay in 11 points? Right. Do you really want to do that? Is that how you want to spend your night? Because – all right, maybe OKC beats them by 30 points. They're certainly capable of it. And the team that steals Game 1 on the road gets smoked in Game 2. That was a great trend for a lot of years. Recently, sure, it's been an awesome trend. That does not apply to the Pacers. The Pacers stole Game 1 in Cleveland, and guess what? They stole Game 2 in Cleveland. They stole Game 1 in New York. We sat here for Game 2. All right, Knicks are going to even it up. Nope, Pacers won that one too. So this trend does not apply to this Pacers team. If I had to take it or lay it, I would probably, I'd probably take the points. I just don't. I can't get to the window laying 11 points against this Pacers team. It's just they're an unpleasant team to bet against. Every three you feel like is going in. It was a really frustrating experience last night. So, maybe that'll be the wrong side of it. And OKC flexes their muscles. That's certainly possible, but it would be plus the points or pass. I have not bet it yet, but if you want to know where the money's really going, unlike other sources, the betting splits come straight from Circa and DraftKings, giving you insight to where the sharp action is landing. Circa is known for taking big bets from professional bettors, while DraftKings provides a broader market perspective. That means you're getting the real action, not just public money, but the kind of wagers that move lines. See the percentage of bets versus percentage of handle on every game across every major sport, helping you make smarter, more informed bets. Get VSiN's exclusive betting splits for as little as $9.99 for your first month at VSiN.com/subscribe.
All right, that's Will Hill. Matt Eumanns here. Hour number two, VSiN Primetime. I will say that I mentioned last night the Pacers are the number one three-point shooting team in the playoffs at 40%. OKC shoots it in the postseason at 33.6%. And we saw that last night, Will. Pacers shot 46%, made 18 threes. That was a big difference in the game. Pacers shooting the three so much better. And when you talk about trends, I mentioned this last night. Game one of the NBA Finals, underdogs in the past 20 years. This is prior to last night's game. Game one of the Finals, underdogs 2-18 straight up, 3-17 against the spread since 2005. Underdogs of more than 5 points, 0-12 straight up, 1-11 ATS. Trash it, wad it up, throw it in the trash. It doesn't matter when you're talking about the Indiana Pacers. Down 15 in the fourth quarter last night, come back to win, 111-110. All good trends come to an end, and that one did last night with the underdog winning on the road in game one of the Finals. Chuck Esposito of the Red Rock Sportsbook joins us next. Stay tuned here to VSiN Primetime on the Sports Betting Network.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Getting close to the puck dropping in Edmonton. Stanley Cup Final Game 2. Oilers up 1-0 in the series. Florida Panthers trying to get even. And not too many people I know love hockey more than Chuck Esposito. Let's go out to the Red Rock Sportsbook on the Progressive Guest Line and welcome in Chuck. Getting close to the start of Game 2, Chuck. How is this game being bet tonight?
It's kind of one-sided, Matt. First, it's good to be with you guys. Edmonton did open up a quarter in this game. It's gone all the way down to pick them. We actually saw Florida go to the favorite for a very short period of time. So we're Oiler fans in this game. Kind of you looked at last year where Florida won the first three, Edmonton won the next three, and then, of course, Game 7 was that low-scoring game that Florida won to hoist the cup. But overall, looks like we're going to be Oiler fans tonight at Puck Drop.
Is that what you expected after the Oilers kind of stole Game 1? They were down 3-1. Tied it, forced overtime, and went 4-3 in OT. So many bettors like to zigzag sort of pattern to bet these NBA and NHL series. Did you anticipate you were going to get money on the Panthers?
I did, Matt. I think, you know, a lot of people feel that the Panthers are still the better team. If every game was on neutral ice, they would have been the favorite in the series. Just that Game 1 and a potential Game 7 would be in Edmonton, a chance for Edmonton to redeem themselves after the loss last year. But I just felt, yeah, Florida losing Game 1, that the betting public was going to come back and bet them in Game 2. I think this series has all the makings of potentially going 7 games.
Yeah, here at Circa, actually, Edmonton opened minus 124. Now Florida has flipped to the favorite at minus 107, so very similar to what you've got at Station Casinos at Red Rock Sportsbook, Chuck. How about the total? It's sitting 6 here, but I see 6.5 at other spots in the market. Where are you on the total, and how is that being bet tonight?
We're 6.5, but a juice toward the under, Matt. I think it's interesting because when these two teams played last year in the Cup Final, 3 games went over, 3 games went under, and 1 game fell on a total of 6, which it was for that game. So we really haven't moved off where we opened this game, 6.5, juice toward the under. But I could see some points scored after, or goals scored after the first game. People kind of, you know, you saw how they were how that game was played and how many goals scored. These two teams are both prolific on the offensive side. It's not going to surprise me to see this game go over as well tonight.
Chuck, let's switch over to the NBA. I feel like every time we have you on, we discuss another just incredible, improbable comeback win by the Pacers. It happens again. Do you know offhand just about what the Pacers were at their highest point on the money line? And how did that game work out for you here in Game 1?
Yeah, I mean, I didn't want the miraculous comeback last night, though, guys. I mean, best case scenario, I know we talked about it off air a little bit, really would have been OKC winning between 1 and 9. It would look like, you know, we were in that range for a lot of the game. I know OKC led by double digits for at different times, but we were really rooting for that scenario. There was a lot of Pacer money line action on the game. Those bettors definitely cashed. Money line itself, we opened on the game, our series price, -$7. On the money line of the game, it actually came down before going back up again. But I think we're clearly going to be Pacer fans in game two. Although we opened 11.5, came down to 11. I think by the time this game tips on Sunday, you're going to see a lot of Pacer money or Thunder money come back, and it's going to drive this game up.
What about the total? Indy obviously shot incredibly well from three, as they seem to do, but they had a lot of turnovers. OKC shot okay from three. Any way you're expecting this year to go game two with the over-under?
You know, the total itself, we opened 227. It's been as high as 229. So initial push was toward the over. I think you're still going to see a lot of over money in this game too, is in my opinion. We've seen when OKC has come back from a loss so far in the NBA playoffs that the next game has gone toward the over. I think this will be the case again, and that's the way it'll be bet.
How about looking forward here? Optimism for a longer series? It's only one game. Obviously, you have to be more optimistic now that Indiana got a win and got it on the road. I'm sure you're rooting probably for as many games as possible. What's just the big picture thought here on this series going forward?
Yeah, there's no question. I mean, from our side of it, I'd love for the NHL and the NBA Finals to go seven games in both. I think, you know, if OKC does win this game, if they win game two, I think it's going to be vital for Indiana to at least get a split at home. I mean, there's no question. You look at OKC, best record in the league against the point spread, how many games they won by double digits or 10 points or more. I think there's still a lot of pressure on the Pacers. Now, they've been a surprise to me. I mean, 6 seed in the East, the way they've kind of come through and played, I think they're going to have to play well at home, which they've given up a couple of games in the postseason at home. They're going to have to play so well at home. But I'm really curious to see how this young OKC team kind of bounces back in game two after losing game one at home.
Chuck Esposito, Red Rock Sportsbook Director, with us. And you said young OKC team, Chuck. And I was making that point when I was talking about this series on VSiN this week. You know, such a big favorite, a -700 series favorite. But by average age, the second youngest team ever to reach the NBA Finals. And I said, I think we're probably overrating OKC a little bit. I thought the Pacers could drag this series out to 6 or 7 games. What did you think prior to the series? Did you think OKC was going to be deliver on that dominant favorite status, or did you think the Pacers had a chance to really make this a serious series?
I thought OKC would deliver, Matt. I just thought that both teams can score, but I thought OKC was so much better on the defensive side that some of those open looks and the way that Indiana was able to move the ball against the Knicks, that they weren't going to get those same looks against OKC, and it was going to create a lot of problems. But the way, you know, they're the cardiac kids. I mean, they don't have a problem being down by 6, 8, you know, double digits and making that run. And I was surprised that OKC relinquished that. But I think for a young team, maybe it's a little bit of a wake-up call. They realize that, hey, we have to play every minute of every quarter. And I really think that not so much game two. I think OKC is going to be highly motivated in this game. Indiana did what they wanted to do, at least when one of the two games on the road. It's when they get to Indiana, how do the Pacers play in their own barn?
Well, Pacers, when you can make 18 threes, you're going to win a lot of games. That helped them overcome the turnover problems they had last night. 18 for 39 from three. But again, Chuck, they were down 15 in the fourth quarter. I know Will Hill asked you this off the air. Did you get any shots on live wagering on the Pacers when they were down big in the fourth quarter last night?
It was nothing crazy, Matt. I thought it might be, you know, a much bigger number overall that we could have lost, but it wasn't. I think that as that kind of fourth quarter unfolded and just the fact where the number was kind of hovering for the most part, I think the way the game was bet again, most people didn't think Indiana was going to come back and win that game last night.
Chuck Esposito of the Red Rock Sportsbook with us, and Will Hill and I were talking about this earlier. You know, so much mainstream media chatter about small markets and TV ratings being down. What was the wagering handle like prior to the series and in game one?
The handle has been great, Matt. I think both in the NBA and the NHL, we still saw a really, really good handle across the board. So I think it's, you know, you have the young OKC team. You've got an Indiana team who is kind of like the sleeper team right now in the NHL. You have a rematch. Can't compare anything to, of course, if VGK was in it. But in both cases, the handle's been good. And just the amount of props that are on the app, I think, adds to the overall betting volume in both sports.
I'm with you when you said hopefully the Stanley Cup and NBA Finals can each go six or seven games. We want long series here. How many games do you think this NBA Finals is going to go at this point?
Tough to say. I still think in OKC's case, if they win game two, and you know, I could see them winning both games in Indiana. Indiana's got to play so well, I think, to win one of those two games. I'm saying the Stanley Cup goes seven and the NBA goes six, but okay. I'm hoping both go seven.
Will, you want to ask about the Colorado Rockies? You and Chuck were talking about that off the air. I think that's a relevant question. It's on the minds of a lot of bookmakers right now.
It sure is.
Have bettors been hammering their future prices? Make the playoffs, win the division. Do you believe in the Rockies here? They have won three in a row. They were against the Marlins, but I don't know. When does this run end here for the great resurgent Colorado Rockies?
Well, if you ask the bettors, I'm going to say it ends tonight, but you know, you look at the Rockies, guys, and they did win three in a row, a little bit different against the Mets. I mean, the Mets are -2.5 runs on the run line, although the overall price has come down a little bit. It's a Rocky team that only has six wins at home this year. I think on the flip side, though, you look at the Mets, and they're below 500 on the road. They're 15-17 on the road. So for me, I sure hope that three-game winning streak turns into a four-game winning streak, because there's no question we are Rocky fans tonight.
Yeah, Mets-Rockies, 5:40 p.m. We're about 15 minutes away. Rockies trying to extend that winning streak. Mets -260 or higher in the market right now. The puck has dropped, and we have a goal, Chuck. The Florida Panthers, 1-0.
Not a surprise, guys. Not a surprise.
Bennett, it appears, with a goal, and the Panthers back to bettors who are on the underdog tonight with a quick goal. Chuck, appreciate the time, and have a great weekend.
All right, guys. You too. Thank you.
Red Rock Sportsbook Director Chuck Esposito. If you're in Vegas, definitely swing by the Red Rock. That's one of my favorite sportsbooks in town. Will, what do you say we talk about the resurgent Colorado Rockies when we come back? Mets Rockies, one of the late games in MLB. And Will Hill breaks it down after a quick break here on VSiN Primetime. Yankees 7, Red Sox 0. And Walker Buehler is knocked out of the game, Will Hill. Did not last long tonight in the Bronx.
It is now Buehler's day off. He gets the rest of the night off. So a short outing. I was just wondering, do you remember this? I don't think I would have gotten this. They showed the World Series end where Buehler, you know, strikes out the last batter and celebrates on the mound. Do you remember who made the last out for the Yankees? Because I didn't.
Juan Soto.
It was Alex Verdugo.
Was it? Okay. Former Red Sox. Alex Verdugo.
Yeah, and current Brave, I believe. He was actually hitting well for for a decent time there. I'm sure that's cooled off or going to cool off because we know what he is at this point. I saw this stat too. The Yankees now have 15 innings of 5+ runs. They had 15 all of last year, so some explosive innings for the Yankees here. Without Soto, you know, Rice has stepped up. He's a good bat. He crushed the ball the game you were at Sunday. They just get contribution from more guys. It's not that they have another Soto, but you know, between Goldschmidt and Bellinger and Volpe and Chisholm, it's just a deeper, more balanced lineup, and then Judge is Judge. So got to like what you've seen from the Yankees, even though neither of us think they're just some great elite team. But in the American League, they're about as good as anyone.
If you power rate it right now, the best team in the American League, especially after the Tigers dropped 2 of 3 to the White Sox. But you're right, when I was at Dodger Stadium Sunday night, Ben Rice hit a bomb to center. And Aaron Judge, that was his only quiet game of the series, and the Yankees won that one. He homered Friday night, hit 2 on Saturday. Didn't do much at all on Sunday, but the Yankees avoided the sweep with a 7-3 win over the Dodgers in that game. And it's by the way, I watched the Mets, most of the Mets-Dodgers series. Juan Soto is starting to wake up a little bit, Will. He showed some signs of life in that series, and you know, all these concerns about Soto, I think he'll probably eventually get past that because I was, you know, not to say I'm a Soto fan now that he's with the Mets, but I think you saw some encouraging signs that he's going to get it going here pretty soon.
Soto is about as steady as it gets. The plate discipline, the line drives, that pretty much plays anywhere and everywhere. I don't think he's ever going to put up the Yankee Stadium numbers with the 42 homers hitting in front of Judge. That was a perfect, perfect baseball spot. But Judge is Soto's going to get his numbers. I think he's going to warm up as the weather warms up, which it is now. So Soto's one of the last guys you ever worry about, similar to when Judge was slumping last year in the middle of May. As long as these guys are healthy, these guys are going to hit.
Juan Soto right now hitting .229, but he's got 11 homers, 31 RBIs. And he did the rock Clayton Kershaw for a home run to right field. I was watching the other night, and I said, Soto looks like he's been half asleep here to start the season, but maybe he's starting to wake up a little bit. You know who's really ripping the cover off the ball right now for the Mets? It's Polar Bear Pete Alonso, .298. He's batting with 15 homers, 55 RBIs, on base percentage close to .400, 70 hits. Polar Bear Pete has answered the bell for sure. Let's talk about this Mets game tonight because they're at Coors Field to face the Rockies, and this game starts here in about, looks like within 10 minutes. Kodai Senga gets the start for the Mets. Anywhere from minus 260 to minus 290 is the number. Total 10.5. And the Rockies, red-hot Rockies, won three in a row, Will.
We don't dare moneyline parlay the Mets in the Thunder, right? We don't dare do that. I'm just asking. We're just thinking aloud. Right?
Mets, Thunder, moneyline parlay. I'm sure there's someone out there who's doing that. I'm not going to argue against it, but the Rockies suddenly might have a belief that they can win baseball games, huh?
Minus 164 at DraftKings if you're just looking for a little action. Hopefully Steve Fezzik is not listening. He hates, despises moneyline parlays. You can't shop for the best number. It's a square ball play. I understand all of his points, but just I know how people like to bet. They don't want to lay the minus 520. They don't want to lay the minus 280. Yeah. So that's at least one. I understand why it's appealing to people.
I also know, but that's a bit hypocritical from Steve Fezzik, because I know several cases where he's laid minus 800, minus 1,000, minus 2,000, or whatever.
Oh, no, he doesn't. He just doesn't like the moneyline parlays.
I know exactly, but you're for one thing, which is ridiculous, and against something else, which is also ridiculous. So anyway, Marlins have won three in a row. 6-4, 3-2, and 3-2. Rockies beat the Marlins three in a row in Miami and home tonight to open a series against the Mets. I just can't advocate.
Breaking news, by the way.
Uh-huh. Go ahead.
Breaking news. Steve Fezzik, there's no way he's listening because he just texted me in a group chat, but it was not related to the show. He says, quote, "I put Arby's sauce on my barbecue pizza." So it was not related to the show. He's got his mind on other things, so we're safe from the scorn of Steve Fezzik, but that's an interesting move. Arby's sauce on pizza, barbecue pizza. I'll have to think about that one.
I'm not going to criticize him for that. I love Arby's sauce. Okay. Arby's sauce and the horsey sauce, incredible combination at Arby's. And I think you can put that on other things. Experiment with it. I like that. I actually like that from Fezzik. But like I said, I know that he's got his reasons for laying the big money line prices in some of those spots, but I don't know how you can advocate that and then criticize somebody for parlaying something like the Rockies and the OKC Thunder on the money line. If you shop for the best price, let's say you get the best price in the market on both teams and you find them both at the same book and parlay them, what would be wrong with that?
I'd have to go back and listen. I think he thinks that you're leaving a winner on the table. If you like the 264, just lay the 264. You don't want to you don't have to roll it over again. So again, there's reasonable minds can differ.
Will, you're also laying close to $6 with the Thunder on game two. You don't want to lay 600 with the Thunder, do you?
Sure. No, I'm with you.
Are you going to parlay it and face the wrath of Steve Fezzik possibly if you parlay the Rockies and the Mets?
If you do it, I'll do it.
Or, excuse me, the Mets and the Thunder?
Mets and if you do it, I'll do it.
I don't know if I'm going to do it. But anyway, Mets-Rockies get underway here in a couple minutes, and Mets anywhere from minus 260 to 290, total of 10.5. There is an 11 out there at DraftKings right now in the total, and we'll see if the Rockies can keep it going. Like Chuck Esposito of the Red Rocks said, bookies are rooting for the Rockies every day because the opposing team is on parlays against the Rockies, and the betting public has been playing against them, playing against the West Sacramento A's almost every day, too. The A's just recently went 1-20 over a 21-game stretch. A couple of really rotten teams in baseball you could bet against on a daily basis in the Rockies and the A's. Dodgers and Cardinals in St. Louis right now in a brief rain delay, it appears. So that game is not yet underway. And on the West Coast tonight in San Francisco, we got the Braves and the Giants. Braves minus 137 here at Circa, 144 at DraftKings. And, well, we just keep waiting for the Atlanta Braves to get it going, and it's not really happening. How about that comeback last night? That I said when the season ends, you're going to look back and say, what were the 10 worst beats in baseball the entire season? The Atlanta Braves last night have to be one of the 10 worst when this season is over.
And there were a few of them yesterday. What was it, game one of the Cardinals-Royals, where the Royals had a big lead? I mean, there's probably somebody out there that had Royals money line, OKC on the money line, and the Braves on the money line is just thinking, what the hell is the point of betting? Just some awful losses. And, yeah, you look at the standings, and we could say there's a lot of time left. They are only ahead of three teams, the Pirates, the Rockies, and the Marlins. So they are not in great territory, the Braves. The season's long, but the season is not eternal. The season doesn't last forever. You're going to put yourself in a position where you're just going to be in too big of a hole to get out of. Seven losses, under 500 here. A lot of teams to catch. I know they've done it before. 2022, they hunted down the Mets. 2021, they rallied back when Acuna got hurt and won the World Series. They're not there yet, but you're getting to a point here where there's just no return, and you have to think about sellers. Again, not there yet, but you're not that far off. Seven back in first, second week of June here, that's a problem. That's starting to get to very dangerous waters here for Atlanta.
Well, I talked about one of the 10 worst beats of the baseball season when it's all over. I really believe the Braves last night are going to be in that group. I know somebody who bet the Braves last night, and he was sick to his stomach, to put it kindly. I can't actually relay the exact words he used and repeat it on the air, but the Braves were up 10-4 going to the ninth inning and gave up seven runs in the ninth and lost 11-10 to the Diamondbacks last night. Just if you bet the Braves going to the ninth up six, absolutely sick with the way that game finished last night, 11-10. Very similar to the Pacers winning 111-110 last night, down 15 points in the fourth quarter to the OKC Thunder and storming back to win. Again, the Yankees lead the Red Sox 7-0, and not a lot else going on in the world of baseball as we speak, but the Mets and Rockies about to get going right now. I got to tell you about the Circa Summer Package. I've had some people ask about this. How good a deal is this? It's one hell of a deal. This summer, go all in at Circa Las Vegas with the Ultimate Getaway Package. $400 all in. You get a two-night stay at Circa, a $100 dining credit, a $100 beverage credit, and your own day bed at Stadium Swim. $400, that includes resort fees and taxes. So that's all in. This limited time offer is valid for stays between May 26th and September 4th. Don't miss out. Lock in your all-in summer package now. CircaLasVegas.com. All right, we are 1-1 in the hockey game. We got plenty of fireworks in Edmonton. Panthers and Oilers all tied up about halfway through the first period. Back here in a couple minutes on VSiN Primetime.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Will Hill, have you checked the scores at the RBC Canadian Open this week? The last stop on the PGA Tour before next week's U.S. Open?
Briefly here and there. Why don't you update me?
Cameron Champ is the leader, believe it or not. It takes a two-stroke lead into the weekend. Cameron Champ. This is a guy who's been an afterthought, if anyone even thought about him after the fact, the last couple of years. Hasn't done much of anything. Masters champion Rory McIlroy missed a cut. Fired a 78 today. He had a quadruple bogey 8 on one hole, and he is out. He missed the cut by a long way. I don't think that I didn't even consider betting Rory this week. I probably should have faded him in a matchup. I watched an interview with Rory before the tournament. I didn't think he cared about this tournament at all this week. It's kind of like when he checked the box that he won the career Grand Slam. I think he lost his edge a little bit. Won the Masters. That was such a relief to him. The monkey off the back, so to speak. And it looks like Rory just doesn't have the same drive, determination, and drive he had before he won the Masters. Plus, you're gearing up for the major next week, the U.S. Open. So the RBC Canadian doesn't mean a whole lot, I think, to some players this week. The Canadian Open, it means a lot to somebody like Cameron Champ, though, if he can win this event. So I've got this sheet from the Westgate Sportsbook I picked up on, I believe it was Monday night. And I'm looking at the sheet with the players, 150-some players on it, and I can't find Cameron Champ anywhere. 150 players listed, no Cameron Champ, and I'm trying to figure out what happened here. So Jeff Sherman of the Westgate Superbook explains it. Champ was added to the field Wednesday morning when another golfer withdrew. Champ opened at 300-1 odds, and he was added to the Westgate sheet odds list after Wednesday morning. Westgate got one ticket on Cameron Champ for $2. One ticket for $2 at 300-1 odds pre-tournament. Champ is now the leader headed to the weekend at plus 450 at DraftKings, followed by Nick Taylor, Thorbjørn Olsen, Shane Lowry, and some other names. Taylor Pendrith, I know, was on Wes Reynolds' playlist this week. Pendrith is right up there as well. But Rory missed the cut. I don't think he minds. You know, you got to look at things like that when you're handicapping these tournaments. With the major next week, Rory's trying to tune up for the U.S. Open, didn't care about playing in Canada, and he played like it today. Fired a 78, missed the cut, and he can move on to Pennsylvania, to Oakmont, where it's going to be one hell of a challenge for these guys. That course is going to be brutally tough next week. Shane Lowry, who's in the hunt here this week in Canada, I think might be worth a play next week at the U.S. Open. I'm looking at Ludvig Åberg, going to look at Bryson DeChambeau as usual, and Shane Lowry might be on my play list as well. But again, the third golf major of the year next week. We've had the Masters, we've had the PGA, and now we've got the U.S. Open at Oakmont next week. But again, Cameron Champ, 300-1 before the tournament, is the leader by two strokes headed to the weekend. Will, you want to do a quick update here on the hockey game? I was looking at the Circa numbers before tonight's game. A goal to be scored in the first 10 minutes was yes, minus 155. Well, there were two goals scored in the first 10 minutes tonight, and now Edmonton has scored again. At the 8:57 mark here in the first period, Oilers 2, Panthers 1, after Panthers scored the first goal less than 2 minutes into the game.
The over-under was 6. I think that was for the full game. I don't think it was for the first period, but with the way we're trending, we're about headed there. So exciting hockey. You got a lot of fireworks in game one. Oilers now up 2-1. And let's just say the Oilers won this game. Obviously, a long way to go. Would you be looking at the Panthers at a plus price because you have the Oilers already? Would you look at the Panthers in game three? How does this change how you feel?
You got another goal. Panthers just scored again. Seth Jones.
Oh, there you go.
2-2. Wow, that's one of the easiest goals you're ever going to see. I cannot believe how wide open that was. Will, you with your eyes closed could have scooped that one in. That was way too easy. I don't know what happened to Stuart Skinner there, but, boy, that was way too easy of a wide open look there. Panthers tie it up. So what we have here, Sam Bennett scored at the 2:07 mark. Evander Kane tied it up at 1. Oilers go up 2-1, and now at 11:37, Seth Jones scores, and it's 2-2. Did you see the replay here?
Looks like he just lost track of where the puck was. That was very bizarre.
That was bizarre. You're not going to get an easier goal than that. It left the entire thing wide open. The net was unguarded, basically. 2-2, Florida, Edmonton at 7:56 of the first period. If you bet the under, go ahead, turn the TV off, and walk outside and take a lap because you're in big trouble tonight. This is going to be – looks like it's going to be an over series, or at least over for the second game in a row in Edmonton. What was your question? I got distracted there by the Panthers tying goal.
No, I mean, it's irrelevant now. Just thinking, you know, how important this game is, or you think even if the Oilers win that we're looking at a long series here.
I do. I think this could be 6 or 7 games, and that's not going out on a limb. I think 9 out of 10 people would probably say that this is going to be a 6 or 7 game series. What Chuck Esposito say? 7? I think Chuck, when he was with us, Chuck said the Stanley Cup final he thinks is going to go 7, and the NBA finals are going to go 6.
Yep.
He's going with OKC in 6, right?
Some of that I think is some wishful thinking on his part. He just wants more games, more handle, but I think that's probably I would agree with both predictions, so I think he's right.
All right, I'm going to give you a statement here from Aaron Moore, the professor who's going to join us in the next hour. Derek Stevens here at Circa loves college baseball, huge fan of it. Not all bookmakers, I think, would share that opinion. Some bookmakers think it's a nuisance. You see lower betting limits, tougher to get down on some of these games. If you walk into a lot of sports books, you're not even going to see the college baseball super regionals on TV. But it is going tonight. How about this statement from Aaron Moore? Quote, you and Will won't agree with me, but I will say Tennessee-Arkansas is a much bigger baseball series than the Yankees and the Red Sox. End quote.
It's so regional. In New York, absolutely not. In Boston, absolutely not. Down south, absolutely. So it depends where you are. So I get his perspective, but it's just so dependent on what your perspective and what part of the country you're in.
I agree with you. I disagree with the professor. Outside of Tennessee and Arkansas, I think very few people care about the Tennessee-Arkansas baseball series, right?
Yeah, and look, the Red Sox, the Yankees-Red Sox has lost a little luster, especially this year. The Red Sox are not any good. It's been a while since they were both really good at the same time, but baseball, college baseball is just such a super such a regional sport, and Major League Baseball to some extent is too. So again, that's a tricky one. That just depends where you live. If you live in LA, you probably don't care about either one.
Well, we're going to get best bets for college baseball from the professor Aaron Moore in the next hour. And he can do his best to hype up the Tennessee-Arkansas series. Like, it means a lot to the rest of the world outside of the SEC in that region. Probably not. But it doesn't matter. If you got a best bet and it cashes, that's what matters. What matters the most. All right, around baseball right now, Yankees 7, Red Sox 1. Boston just got a solo homer to get on the board here. Phillies and Pirates tied at 2. D-backs and Reds tied at 3. Tigers lead the Cubs 2-1 in Detroit. Will, you were talking about this right before the game started. Good pitching matchup tonight in Detroit.
Yeah, Scooble against the Cubbies. I don't have eyes on this one. I'm on that channel. It's a fun channel, the MLB Mix, where they show 8 games at once. For whatever reason, this one got bumped. Maybe it's on MLB Network. Scooble was cruising early on when I watched it, and he just mows through these hitters like it's like they're standing there without a bat. I don't have an update on that one, but Scooble was very impressive early on there. As you'd expect.
Yeah, Brown against Scooble was a matchup. Tigers lead 2-1, bottom of the 7. Tigers went off -185. I actually saw -205 out there. Total of 7. Scooball has been a great bet on pitcher. But if you played the runs line with Detroit tonight, you're in trouble. Up 1, end of 7th. In the end of 7 in Detroit. Astros lead the Guardians 4-2 in Cleveland. Royals lead the White Sox 2-1 in Chicago. Padres up on the Brewers 1-0 in Milwaukee, and Twins lead the Blue Jays 3-0. We're still in a rain delay in St. Louis. Dodgers and Cardinals not yet underway. What have you seen from the Yankees pitching staff tonight? Yankees starting pitcher Will Warren shutting down the Red Sox 7-1, and that's the game I think you've been focused on the most. You played this over the total of 9, correct?
Yeah, we gave this out before the game over 9. There was a little rain delay, so people were able to get that in if they tuned in early in the show. Warren's got the stuff. He's been getting a lot of swings and misses. He had a horrible start against the Dodgers on Saturday, but a lot of ups and downs. You see the potential. You see the stuff. He can lose the plate at times, but tonight we're seeing the good version of Warren.
Warren's been a great strikeout pitcher, and that's continued tonight. He's got 5 strikeouts, 4 1/3, and a 7-1 lead, and there's another strikeout. The final jewel of the Triple Crown is here, the Belmont Stakes. No better time to bet the races than right now with First Bet. New users can get a $200 sign-up bonus. Use promo code VSIN200. Download the app or go to firstbet.com/VSIN to sign up today. firstbet.com/VSIN, promo code VSIN200 for your $200 bonus.